What's up? This is Movies On Up, discussion episode, special news edition. Living in Hollywood can make you famous. Dying in Hollywood can make you a legend. I am Dave, joined by my boy wonder, Ryan.
Boyish and wonderful, that's me.
Yep. Sounds less creepy when you say it.
It sure does.
We are Movies On Up. Usually the first discussion episode we do in a week is we sit down and watch a single movie. But this week, there was news so big that we just couldn't keep it in, even though we eliminated our news episodes. And that was Ben Affleck, cast as Batman.
What?
In the Man of Steel sequel. We decided we're going to sit down and talk about it for a minute. And then we figured, why not just do our favorite Ben Affleck movies as well? So we'll talk a little bit about the news and give our favorite Ben Affleck movies. But before then, the tagline for this week, living in Hollywood can make you famous. Dying in Hollywood can make you a legend. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup.com, moviesonup@gmail.com, Twitter @moviesonup, facebook.com/moviesonup. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up. If you're right and we pick you, you will win the infamous Movies On Up prize pack.
At this point, I don't know if it's infamous or it's famous. It really doesn't exist. But we need winners. When we have winners, then it will exist and it can.
We say that. We have winners. So
how many do we have?
A handful.
Okay.
But so.
Sorry, winners.
About to talk Affleck. But before Affleck, you know what time it is. Bonus list!
That's going to sound awesome when I put the echo reverb on it.
Yeah, the echo always screws up what I do. This is the bonus list. Top 5 Michael Keaton movies. Desperate Hours, 5. He's the villain. It's kind of awesome. 4, Mr. Mom. Pretty cool movie. 3,
He's the Mom.
3, The Dream Team. Kind of underrated. Awesome movie. 2, my personal favorite, Multiplicity. And 1, the obvious. He's on screen for 20 minutes.
My personal favorite.
Beetlejuice.
Sure.
So that's our top 5 Michael Keaton movies. Reason I did top 5 Michael Keaton movies is, I don't know if you remember, I don't know how many of you were on Twitter in the late 80s when Michael Keaton.
I was not.
When Michael Keaton was announced as Batman. There wasn't such a thing as internet rage, but people didn't like the idea of Keaton as Batman. He had been pretty much a comedic actor the whole time. And then Batman came out, and he was an awesome Batman. I thought that was kind of relevant because if you have the internet, you know that Affleck was cast as Batman last week, and you know the general consensus of what the internet's opinion of that was.
I can't ever remember a Batman with the outside possibility of maybe the most recent Batman, but I can't remember there being a very good reaction to any of them.
I mean, Bale, people really didn't know what to expect.
That's what I mean. Like, that might have been lukewarm at best.
I guess to be more topical is to go away from Keaton and mention Heath Ledger was a pretty boy Australian actor that had really just done like rom-coms and stuff over here in the States. That worked out all right.
Yeah.
Overall thoughts on Affleck as Batman?
I really don't mind it at all. When we talk about Batman, and we've done it before, you're really signing on for two roles. You're signing on for Bruce Wayne and you're signing on for Batman. My original thought is I think Affleck will be a really good Bruce Wayne. And what do you have to be for Batman? I think he's got the physicality for it. He showed that with Daredevil. It was a god-awful movie, but it wasn't his fault. He did as well as someone could do being Daredevil. But he was able to pull off the physicality of Daredevil. So, I mean, I think he'll be – I have no problems with him being Batman. It's not – I don't think the casting's really out of left field. I mean, they'd offered him the role before.
They wanted him in Justice League. They wanted him to write and direct Justice League. And the talk then was that he would be Batman in the Justice League. And then I didn't even think it was that great a casting. I'm not anti-Affleck. I like Affleck. Do I like him as Batman? I don't know.
I mean, we had a list of people that we thought would be very good as the Batman. He wasn't on our list.
Here's my thing. Do I hate him as Batman? I don't think so.
No.
He's a competent actor, but here's where I look at Ben Affleck as an actor is that I don't think he's awful. If you look at his career, because the internet was like, oh, they seen Daredevil. What do they think?
Yeah, Daredevil that was 10 years ago. Movie.
That was 10 years ago with a weak director and a terrible script. That was 10 years ago. Are we judging everybody on what they did 10 years ago? I was an alcoholic 10 years ago. Like, people can grow and mature. And Affleck was at that point in his career where he got everything so early. I mean, yeah, he worked up with school ties and stuff, but after Goodwill Hunting, bam.
That was more than 10 years ago, but he was good at
anything he wanted.
It's selective. People pick out the crap he did 10 years ago and say, oh, what about Geely? That was terrible. Yeah, it was. But you find me somebody that doesn't have a bomb on their IMDb profile that's been around for 15 years.
And I mean, to be fair, he had a string of them because he went, whereas Damon kind of went under the radar and was doing fewer movies and being more selective. Affleck was, Armageddon.
And Armageddon,
that wasn't terrible.
We crap on Michael Bay, but that was really.
But
not
then he
terrible.
Did the he later he did the rom com with Sandra Bullock, that Forces of Nature, Reindeer Games, just a dumb action movie. I mean, he had an agent that wanted
Changing Lanes,
yeah. Like Pearl Harbor, another Michael Bay thing. He played Jack Ryan in Some of All Fear, and then Daredevil, Geely, Paycheck, Jersey Girl. That is pretty much the phase that killed his blockbuster career. And then Surviving Christmas right after that. Like, that's five Dumbos in a row. But
I don't think he survived the bus crash.
No, but he was given so much. And can you fault an actor for cashing in when they could? He was made a bankable star, and he made a lot of money in that phase, even though the product wasn't that good.
I mean, Samuel L. Jackson's had phases where he's made a lot of crap. He's just not said no to anything. But I don't know that anybody gets mad when Samuel L. Jackson gets cast in a movie. I wasn't pissed when he got cast in Star Wars. I was like, hell yeah, bring it on. I wasn't pissed when he got cast in The Avengers. Fine. He'll be an awesome Nick Fury. It just seems like there's such a hatred for Affleck, and I don't know why it is. If it's because of Goodwill Hunting, people still hate him for stealing that Oscar. I don't know, but if anybody's got an axe to grind against Affleck, it's me for marrying my wife.
Yeah,
but whatever.
But like, okay, so you go back, that string ended in 2004. So 9 years ago, if Affleck's cast as Batman, yes, I understand the hatred. I understand it because he's on a string of
what he would have been at that time.
At that time. But then he kind of took a step back. He started some smaller stuff, made an appearance in Clerks 2. But 2006 is kind of when it made the turn with Hollywoodland, where it was a fantastic script. And he did really well in it. He was, you know, he was a major player, but a relatively small part. And he got a lot of praise, and people were like, whoa,
that might
that's
be on
Affleck.
My list somewhere.
That's Affleck. And then, you know, followed up with he's just not that into you, but whatever. State of Play, that's an acting movie. I mean, it was based on an awesome British miniseries that I liked. He had a funny part in Extract. And then the reinvention of his career, Company Men was good. Then actor-director, The Town, Oscar-nominated, Argo, worked in To the Wonder. It's like he took that 2 years to reevaluate everything, and so many actors get so much. So look at Josh Hartnett, pretty big around the same time as Affleck.
Was in Pearl Harbor with Affleck.
Making the same kind of movies as Affleck. Where's Hartnett now? You have to be something special to keep it going, which, yeah, even though Affleck was making crap, there was obviously something there to keep getting those movies. But in order to come back, you have to have something there. And
clearly the guy's talented. I mean,
and I guess
you look at the new stuff and even some of his old stuff, you can see talent in there.
And that kind of leads to my number one concern is I don't think you can just throw Affleck out there and he's great. When he's good, he's got a great script, even if he writes it himself, and he's got great direction, even if he's directing himself. A lot of the earlier stuff, bad directors, bad scripts, I think Snyder's a bad director. Snyder doesn't get the most out of his actors. So that worries me. Even if Goyer delivers a great script, I don't think Snyder can get it out of him. I don't think Cavill has the chops to elevate him a little bit. Affleck's consistent. He's consistently good to really good. No, he's not a really exciting actor.
In a vacuum, he's not good by himself, but you put him in The Town, and I think it was the cast that he was with.
Exactly. Argo's a perfect example of that. Was he perfect in Argo? Not really. Was he great? he was pretty good, but not really. The fact that he had such a good supporting cast around him really elevated him and kind of hid some of his flaws. But he was still good. It's kind of boring casting when you get down to it. Like, you know what you're getting with Affleck.
At the same point, one of the things that we both thought when it was announced that Batman was going to show up in the Superman sequel was, okay, you're going to cast a Batman. He cannot be more famous than the Superman.
I thought that. I was clearly wrong.
He can't upstage your Superman. That just happened. They have not shot one frame, and it's already happened.
It's all about Affleck now, so...
And it will be, because there's no way that Henry Cavill is going to be able to act opposite the Al Pacino that is Ben Affleck. Yeah. It's going to make him look like Brando and Pacino all rolled into one.
Yeah, and there's nothing Affleck...
A fat guy that yells.
There's nothing Affleck can do between now and then to convince people. I mean, Runner Runner, it looks more like that early 2000 Affleck, the one with Timberlake. Like, he doesn't look great in it. But that doesn't mean that he can't act. I worry that he's not going to have the direction he needs, he's not going to have the script he needs, and he's not going to have the cast he needs. Because Zack Snyder, he made Amy Adams, one of the best actresses out there, boring.
I think that whole movie was kind of boring.
Yeah.
And I'm on record as saying that. But it did kind of shock me that after having been offered the director's chair and that role in Justice League, and then at the time kind of denied it, to come back and to take the role in not Justice League, although you can make the leap that he'll probably be Batman in Justice League, but to work under a director like Zack Snyder, you can argue about how good of an actor Affleck is, but he's a really good director.
Oh, he's a fantastic
much better
director.
He's the best director on that set.
He's a good enough director to make himself a better actor, which that says
shows
a lot.
How good of a director
he
is.
Yeah, and he is the best director on that set. And, I mean, you look at others.
And I don't care if Christopher Nolan shows up. He's the best director on that set.
Them's fighting.
I'm gonna put my name on it.
But you look at the other stuff he's doing. Gone Girl, he's doing with Fincher. To the Wonder, he did with Malick. So it's like he's working when he's not directing himself. He's working with really good directors that have more pedigree than him. So this is not that case. And I guess my other problem is you cast Affleck as Batman in a Batman Superman movie. I'm fine with that. I have no problem with that. But do I want to see a Batman trilogy with Affleck as Batman? I don't think so.
I don't want to see another Batman trilogy.
I mean,
I don't need it. If he's going to be in Justice League, he's going to be in Superman. I don't need another Batman movie.
Do you want to see a standalone Batman movie with Affleck, though? I like Affleck, but he's consistent. He's not going to deliver me anything that's going to surprise me.
Well, let's say this. I know he's consistent, but I always give people the benefit of the doubt. What if he is really good? I mean, I don't think anybody... I never hear that. I hear, oh, he's going to be terrible. He's crap.
I'm not saying he's going to be terrible.
Right, I know, but
what if... I think he's going to be as good as he can be, given the circumstances.
Right, and we're putting, you know, relatively low expectations on it. But what if, which is equally as likely, he is really good? In that case, you know, maybe I would change my mind and I'd be more interested in seeing more of Affleck as Batman. But to be honest, at this point, I'm kind of Batmaned out. I've been beaten over the head with Batman for 10 years. I'm okay. I'm a bit like Christian Bale. I'm all right with no more Batman.
So you would turn down $50 million to watch three more Batman movies?
yes.
But I think that's what worries me. Like, even just an unknown. Like, you throw in our favorite, I think, was Bomer.
Yeah.
Or my favorite, Hugh Dancy. Like, somebody like that, you don't know what you're getting because you haven't seen them do that kind of role. Like, not saying you've seen Affleck play Batman, but you've seen enough from Affleck that he's not... He bounced back and he rejuvenated his career because of his directing skills. Like, as an actor, he doesn't surprise you. He doesn't... Like, even in Argo, like, that was a good movie, quality Best Picture winner.
It was a good haircut.
And at no point was it like, oh, wow, Affleck's killing it. Whereas compared to Zero Dark Thirty, like, Jessica Chastain was amazing in that movie. Like, she popped. Affleck, I've never seen, like, pop. Like, he's never had that, like, oh, I have to watch this guy. I've never hated watching him, but there's never that, I need to see Affleck. Or somebody like, I mean, I bring him up a lot, like Fassbender. Like, Fassbender is so compelling on screen that no matter what the material he's working on, he's compelling to watch. Or like a Tom Hardy. Affleck lacks that. I mean, he has something because he's had a 15-year career with all sorts of success, but I just think it's kind of a boring choice overall.
If Ben Affleck's a boring choice, as much as I like Bomer, that's even more boring at this point.
I don't think so, because you don't know exactly what you're getting.
You don't know what you're going to get with Affleck.
I think I do.
You feel like, well, this is what he does, and maybe that's going to be it. But you never really know. There are times when somebody gets cast and you think, oh, this is going to be a home run, and it just falls flat. And maybe it's because of the directing, it's because of the script, whatever. But I think with the backlash that there's been for Affleck, if it had been Bomer, no one would care. The internet would have not done a damn thing.
Which I'm fine with.
I think it's good for them in the long run to have cast Affleck, because I don't know that he's necessarily bankable as an actor, but I think his name is definitely more bankable.
He gets the buzz. I mean, we're talking about a movie that comes out in two summers, and we're dedicating an episode to it.
Yeah.
It's been all over the internet for... If he was cast as the lead in episode 7, how would you feel?
I would want to know the character he's playing.
If he was
cast as
Batman in episode 7, how would you feel?
Confused. Very confused and alone, I think.
I mean, I'm not against it. I mean, I have ultimately low expectations for the movie anyway, just because I think Snyder is a very, very mediocre director.
And the first one wasn't that good.
Yeah, and I don't think Cavill is the leading man that he needs to be. Just like I don't think Affleck has the power to carry a movie by himself.
Do you think, though, that somewhere inside of WB they've thought, Cavill is not the leading man we need him to be. We need to get a leading man.
That could be
true. And that's why you go out and get Affleck, because now maybe you're saying, all right, this Superman thing, we kind of did put all our chickens in that basket. Now we've got a problem. So we need to make sure that we get somebody that can actually carry this movie, to carry us so that we're not limping into Justice League, because we have to go.
But, I mean, you look at his most successful movies from, you know, acclaim, from critical
Phantoms.
Acclaim. Good Will Hunting. What acting performance do you bring from that? Robin Williams, one supporting
sure,
actor.
Yeah.
Even if you're putting him head-to-head against Matt Damon, he was outshined by Matt Damon. The Town. Was he the best actor in The Town?
No.
Jeremy Renner stole that movie. Even Argo. Alan Arkin. John Goodman. I mean, he's always outshined by a supporting cast. Not that he's not good. He's had really good supporting casts. And, I mean, of those are all Oscar nominees that I've mentioned, except for Goodman. So maybe he can – maybe it's him. Maybe he doesn't get enough credit for elevating everybody else around him. I haven't looked at it like that.
I'm not
going to
say that. I mean, we've seen – it's not like Renner opposite Affleck equals Oscar.
No,
because he got nominated for his Oscar.
He won an Oscar before that.
Well, yeah, I'm saying Ben Affleck was nowhere to be seen. So I don't think it's a matter of we don't give Affleck credit for raising the level of the people he's with. But I think, you know, when he's on the screen with Jeremy Renner or with Alan Arkin, he's less impressive because these guys are so good. But does that mean he's a bad actor? No,
not saying he's a bad actor. I just think he's a really good actor, and I don't think he can go beyond that. I think he's peaked at really good. I could be wrong.
But what kind of an actor do you need for Batman?
Michael Fassbender.
Not who. Does it need to be a really good actor? Who is the best Batman?
Keaton.
Was he the best actor? No. Clooney was the best actor.
Not at the time. But now.
He's the best actor. He was not the best Batman. Not the best Batman or Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, that's a lot of script issues, though. Keaton's close. Keaton.
I'm just saying. I like Keaton, but he's not in the class of Clooney. My point is, you don't need an Al Pacino or a Marlon Brando to be Batman. I think Ben Affleck will do a great job as Batman. I really do. The hell with it.
I think he'll be good. I think.
No, the movie's going to suck, but I think he'll do
good. I think
he'll
be short of great. I think the movie will be terrible. I think Affleck will have zero to do with that.
At the end of this, where is Affleck going to rank in the pantheon of the Batmans?
Above Kilmer.
Okay.
Above Kilmer and Clooney. Like, I don't think he'll pass Keaton. I don't think he'll pass Bale. He could be third.
Was Christian Bale that good, or were the movies just that good? Was it the script?
I think Bale was really good.
I'm not saying he was bad.
I think Bale was really good. I do think Bale, as Bruce Wayne, he was not what you expected, and that's what made Keaton so good, is that Michael Keaton was a different Bruce Wayne than you would expect to see at the time. So I think the role hinges on how well you can portray Bruce Wayne. I truly do, and I think Affleck will be a good Bruce Wayne, but I don't think he'll be a surprising Bruce Wayne.
If he's good, I'm not going to be surprised, because I think he's going to be good. And I think that's all you need. I mean, we're talking about a comic book movie. The acting does not need to be the level it was in The Town. Superman was the highest grossing film in July with Henry Cavill as the lead. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Affleck, unquestionably,
that's
better than Henry Cavill. This movie will be fine.
It doesn't matter who's playing Batman. So I guess it just seemed lazy, and I hate to use the term stunt casting, but it seemed kind of stunt casty.
Maybe it was, but I'm cool with it.
I'm all right with it. I like Affleck.
So we're both stunt casting or not. We're both happy that he's the Batman.
Yeah, so much so that we're going to go over our favorite Ben Affleck movies now.
Of which we're going to have...
We're going to have crossover.
I would think. That would be saying a lot. With a straight face, talk about 10 good Ben Affleck movies.
Yeah, so enough about it. That was mean. So, Ryan, your number 5 favorite Ben Affleck movie.
Is not a movie that you automatically associate with Ben Affleck, though you should. He's kind of the villain character in 1993's Dazed and Confused, directed by Richard Linklater, starring Jason London, Joey Lauren Adams, who may or may not make an appearance later on in my list, Mila Jovovich, Sean Andrews. Affleck plays O'Bannon. It's the film's kind of douchebag. He's the one that's got way too much interest in paddling the freshman right at the beginning of the movie, and he's kind of the one that everyone tries to get back at as they're going along. Did we do favorite high school movies
yet? Not yet.
Okay, I feel like we have.
We've talked about it a bunch.
Okay, maybe that's why I feel like we've done it. But spoiler alert, if we do favorite high school movies, this will probably make an appearance on my list. It'll probably be in about the same position it is now. The thing I love about this movie is it takes place in like one day. And they do so many things in that day. I feel like I have to take a nap midway through the movie just so I can get through everything they do in this night.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I had a lot of friends in high school that liked that one. But
because they like the marijuana.
I'm anti-drug, so I avoided it. My number 5, though, it's hard not to put it on the list because it's the easiest joke to make on the internet. But I'm not going to make that joke. I'm just going to say I legitimately like Phantoms. I thought it was a decent movie. In that time, for what it was, I liked it.
It was a silly sci-fi horror movie.
And he was good in it.
He was the bomb.
I was going to avoid saying that. But
I already said it once.
He was good in it. So I legitimately like Phantoms.
I will say this. I watched it thinking it was going to be terrible. Because why else would you make that joke? But when I saw it, I thought, all right, this is not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And maybe that's just lowered expectations, promising low, delivering slightly more than that.
Under promise, over deliver.
Yeah. Safe to say, Phantoms over delivers?
Yeah.
Question mark?
It's fun.
Yeah. Check it out. That's all you want to say about your number 5?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Fair enough. My number 4 is a movie that people probably like about as much as Phantoms. I don't know many people that do like it other than myself. It was Joe Carnahan's Smokin' Aces from 2006, starring Ryan Reynolds, Jeremy Piven, Ray Liotta, Common, Alicia Keys, Andy Garcia, Jason Bateman. Affleck plays Jack Dupree, who gets hired by Jason Bateman's character to drag Jeremy Piven back to jail. There are a lot of people that are trying to get Jeremy Piven in this movie. And it's a straight-up action movie. Lots of action and lots of shooting. And as an action movie, it's pretty entertaining. But the scene that I remember the most about the movie is when Bateman hires Affleck. Bateman absolutely steals the movie. He's in it for like 2 to 3 minutes, and he's so funny in that kind of slimy lawyer kind of character. Think like a less serious version of Saul Goodman from Breaking Bad. He's that kind of shady lawyer, and he's so good. This movie gets so funny for that 5 minutes and then kind of goes back to shooting everybody. But I really like the movie. It's not a Ben Affleck movie. I mean, he's not in it for that long. Spoiler alert, he gets killed too. Pretty much everybody gets wasted. But as far as action movies go, I kind of like it.
I kind of disliked it. I love these kind of movies. Like, I love the almost like that Guy Ritchie feel where, oh, there's one character and all these other people want him. I love that angle, but I don't think they did anything interesting with any of the other characters. Like, when you have so many pieces moving, it's nice if some of those pieces are at least somewhat interesting. And I think outside of Reynolds, nobody really was. Like, I think Reynolds was actually compelling in that movie.
Yeah.
But outside of that and Bateman, his small appearance, I left Smoking Aces off mine. My number four, I know this one's got to be on your list. If I had to guess, I would assume it's on your list. It is Chasing Amy.
Nope, it's not on my list.
Okay.
Spoiler alert!
I thought it would be.
You thought it
would
be.
This is pre Good Will Hunting, pre everything. This is him and Kevin Smith. Really, I really like the story. I love the idea of the story. I love the execution of it. It's an early Kevin Smith movie, so it's not going to blow you away, but him, Joey Lauren Adams, Jason Lee, all worth watching, and I really liked it.
I feel like I set you up for that one, saying that Joey Lauren Adams may or may not appear on my list.
Well, there's a couple. Yeah.
And this is the one that jumps out, obviously. I mean, of all the Kevin Smith movies outside, obviously, of Jersey Girl, this is kind of the one that features Affleck the most. I mean, he's in Mallrats. He's in just about all of them. Clerks, too. I don't think he was in Clerks. But, I mean, this is the one that is very Affleck-centric. And I think he does a good enough job in it. Again, I think he kind of gets outshined by Joey Lauren Adams.
And Jason Lee, probably.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, she's really kind of the one that I remember most about it.
In Affleck's defense, in that one,
He's playing the character.
Like, he was the, you know, Jason Lee had the freedom to get a little crazy. Joy Lorden Adams, her character by nature was that free spirit. So if he were to try to outmatch those two, it wouldn't have worked as well. So I think he did what he needed to do for that movie, and it's a quality movie.
It is. I don't tend to like it as much as the other Kevin Smith movies. It's not a lot of dick and fart jokes, which, call me immature, but I guess that's how I prefer my Kevin Smith. If I was going to put a movie from that time up there, I'd probably look more at Mallrats.
I almost did Mallrats, but I don't really remember him in Mallrats. He's not in it much.
No, not hardly at all.
There's a couple of those where he showed up to make small appearances in movies that I just left him out. So
I may or may not have done that. Is that it for your number four?
That's my number four.
My number three is a movie that we've already brought up once on the podcast, and you can't not talk about it, especially on this episode, and you can't not talk about it when you're talking about Ben Affleck, because he does a really good job in 2006's Hollywoodland, directed by Alan Coulter, starring Adrian Brody, Diane Lane, Ben Affleck, and Bob Hoskins. It's Batman playing Superman. Affleck plays George Reeves, the actor from the TV Adventures of Superman, whose suicide, I guess, is a bit odd. Yeah. Which, it's sort of a film noir, but the best kind, like a true crime noir. And it's still, I find it interesting in that the case is still shrouded in a lot of mystery. And I think that as Reeves, Affleck was kind of that Saturday matinee idol kind of superhero guy who had a little bit of depth. George Reeves did not like being Superman, and Affleck carried that across. So, you know, you could see him, you know, being an iconic superhero like Superman and doing a pretty good job of it. And then, you know, there was a bit more to his character. So that's kind of what leads me to think that Affleck can, you know, pull off the duality of Bruce Wayne and the Batman.
And I mean, we brought this up. It's one of my honorable mentions because I think this was the turning point in his career. I think once Hollywoodland hit, people looked at Affleck completely differently, and it allowed him to do, you know, he moved on, he directed Gone Baby Gone, and then showed up in The Town. It allowed people to look at him as a legitimate actor, and he was perfect for that role. Like, he looks Hollywood. Like, some people look Hollywood. Yeah. Ben Affleck looks Hollywood, and he played that George Reeves character so well. So I think it opened a lot of people's eyes to Affleck as not the Kevin Smith guy, not the paycheck Reindeer's Game guy, but is a legitimate actor, and it's a quality movie. So my number three, something he's in a little bit more, it is The Town, his first attempt at directing himself, which I love Gone Baby Gone. I didn't put it on the list because I was trying to look at Affleck as an actor, but I like Gone Baby Gone more than any of the movies I'm going to mention because I think it's a nearly flawless movie. But then I had reservations about him acting himself in The Town, and he was good. He was really good. The cast, so good. Everybody delivered. And, I mean, they're not – like, I'm not a big Rebecca Hall fan. She's hit or miss. She was hit. Blake Lively on.
That was the one that really kind of surprised me. I think a lot of people – when you look at that cast – you think Blake Lively, oh, this is not going to go well.
Yeah, she was
but she
perfect.
Was really good in that movie.
Jeremy Renner stole the show. Pete Postlethwaite, RIP. Like, just such a good movie all around. And just the whole premise of it, the concept, the execution was just really good. And I don't think he gets enough credit. I realize he has an Oscar, but even when he got the Oscar for Riding Good Will Hunting, that's Matt Damon's movie. That's Matt Damon's story. So I don't think Affleck's ever been fully appreciated as a screenwriter, even though he has an Oscar, because The Town, Gone Baby Gone, Argo, well, he didn't write Argo, but The Town and Gone Baby Gone he did, really good scripts, like solid scripts.
I think that he gets knocked for his screenwriting because of having that Oscar. It's not so much he's not appreciated, it's people will...
They looked at it as coattailing.
Exactly. So they refuse to give him credit, whether he deserves it or not, just because he's already...
In hindsight, you look at people, because you hear the story of Matt Damon had that story forever, and then they worked on it as a script. But in hindsight, seeing Gone Baby Gone in The Town, it's like,
he's a good writer.
Maybe Matt Damon had this idea, and then Affleck is what, you know, like the combination. Sometimes there's just that perfect combination. And
right.
I'd like to see them write together again, because... As much as I liked, like, Promised Land, it's not Good Will Hunting, you know? Like, I haven't liked, but I'd like to see them write together again, and I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think they would like it as well. What are we on, number two now?
Yeah.
Yeah, my number two is a movie that you just mentioned. It is Gone Baby Gone from 2007. Obviously, this is not a Ben Affleck acting movie, but I think... And I'll put my name on it. I think this is his best directing job.
I think it's his best anything job. Of all the movies he's had his fingerprints on, this is the best movie.
He did not win the Best Director Oscar for this. He didn't even get nominated.
Which is a crock.
Yes, it is. But I absolutely think that the cast in this movie, it was really good in The Town. Amy Ryan did get nominated for her performance in that. And I think that entire cast, Affleck got the best out of all of them, including Casey, which 2007 was a hell of a year for him. He had not only Gone Baby Gone, but also The Assassination. And that he did get nominated for supporting actor for that. So maybe that's why he didn't get nominated for Gone Baby Gone. It would have been two nominations in the same category in the same year. That would have been kind of weird. But, you know, I absolutely think that you mentioned this is pretty close to a perfect movie. I kind of agree with you. I have my criticisms about Argo. I don't begrudge him getting the pub for that movie because I think he didn't get enough for this. So maybe it just evened out.
Yeah, it seemed. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think it's a flawless movie. Like, any time that the end of a movie. That's Watchmen is my favorite book of all time. And the endings are similar, where anytime the end of the movie makes you wonder what's the right thing to do, and you and it could go 50-50, I think is a great story to tell. And it was so good. And like I said, I like it more than any of the movies on my list, but I was looking at Affleck as an actor. It's the best movie he's been involved in any capacity. It's so good. My number two.
But it's not either of our number ones.
No, because I didn't count it for my list.
Oh, I did.
My number two is another one I've talked about already. It might be on your list. It might not be. Good Will Hunting. I really love this movie. I was in 98 when it came out. I was just coming out of high school, and it hit me at that time. And just the story of these guys, like everything about this movie and them, like just college roommates that wrote this, and all of a sudden they're the young punks on the Oscar stage. So just everything about it. And then just to watch the movie now, everything about it holds up. The scenes with Robin Williams are amazing. Minnie Driver's funny. Cole Hauser, I like Cole Hauser in it, and Casey Affleck. Like, everything about this movie I like. And, you know, Affleck did what he needed to do in it. And, yeah, it was Matt Damon's show, and Robin Williams stole the show, but Affleck was what Affleck needed to be. And it was awesome. I love the movie so much.
I like it, too, and I'm glad that that was your number two, because it'll segue nicely into my number one, which is Good Will Hunting 2, Hunting Season. Not quite. Jay and Silent Bob from 2001. This is the Kevin Smith movie that I chose to put on here. It's not, by any means, is it his largest role in a Kevin Smith movie. That obviously is going to go to Jersey Girl or Chasing Amy, your pick. And those are both. I actually think Jersey Girl is a pretty good movie. A lot of people rip it, and I can kind of understand why, but Kevin Smith made a movie for his dad, you know, about having a kid. And if that's what he wants to do, I think it's fine for what it is. It's not Jay and Silent Bob. It's not full of dick and fart jokes and a bunch of Star Wars cameos. But this is honestly one of my favorite comedies of all time. It's you have those movies that if it's on Comedy Central or whatever, I get sucked into watching it. It doesn't matter where it is. I will watch it all the time. And I like Affleck in this movie. He doesn't have many lines in it, but of the lines that I quote, a lot of them do belong to Affleck. When he first shows up and he's explaining the internet, I do that all the time. Lemon face, lion face, I do that pretty often too. I like the fact that at this point, he was doing the movie star thing, but he still showed up in this movie and absolutely made fun of himself. And Good Will Hunting. I mean, that whole scene, Good Will Hunting 2, Hunting Season. Like, he had enough of a sense of humor about it to let Kevin Smith lampoon it. And it just shows that maybe he's actually a pretty decent guy, too.
And so that, I think that goes a long way, is that even when he was making stinkers, I talked about earlier in the episode that, like, four-year span where it was just garbage after garbage. You always got the feeling that he was in on the joke also, that he was doing the paychecks, he was doing what he wanted to do. Like, and then he bounced. I don't think he would have bounced back without that. Like, if that's what he was convinced he needed to be doing, I don't think he ever would have bounced back. So.
Yeah, I mean, you have to kind of be able to roll with the punches after doing Geely. As much crap as he took for that movie, and it was crap.
Because you know what? I never heard people talk about Josh Hartnett's sense of humor.
Well,
I mean, we made that comparison earlier. And
yeah.
Like, I think Affleck's personality. And then and in Hollywood, you have to be easy to work with. Like, it doesn't matter because you're going to fall eventually. And that's what gets you second and third chances is that, oh, I like working with that guy. He's not a pain. And I think Affleck's always been likable. And I think that's been such a big part of his career. And I do love Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, but it's not my favorite movie from that director. It's not even my favorite.
It's not my favorite movie from that director, but it's not even wasn't in my favorite
It's not
one.
My favorite Affleck movie from that director. And I'm honestly, I'm shocked we haven't mentioned this movie at all. My number one Ben Affleck movie, Dogma. Put him back together with Matt Damon. they're kind of co-leads. Like, their storyline is going, and then the Linda Fiorentino, Chris Rock, Jay and Silent Bob storyline is going. And I love this movie. I adore everything about this movie. Yeah, it was filmed in Pittsburgh, which gives it bonus points. But I love the story. Like, I love the idea of it. And it did what Kevin Smith wanted to do. I don't think it got too preachy.
No.
And for being a movie about religion and about destroying heaven, I don't think it was preachy. I didn't look at it as anti-religion. I looked at it as, here's the story I'm going to tell, and here it is. Like, I mean, there was enough from every angle that I thought was awesome, and everybody was good in it. Like, even Chris Rock, who isn't the greatest actor, but he was funny. It was Kevin Smith moved. That was like one of the first instances where he actually moved the camera and tried to do something. And like, just the scene of Affleck coming down the building, like, just angry Affleck. And then a lot of the flack that Affleck gets is, angry Affleck is pretty terrible to watch in that early 2000 phase. But angry Affleck working off of Matt Damon in the parking garage in Dogma, they both kill it in that scene. The scene where Affleck is just like, we're doing, like, he's so good. And yeah, it was a comedy, but there was more to it than that. And they were so good. Like, him and Damon are so good bouncing off of each other. And I think it's the best thing Smith has written, because there's more thought to it. He still gets his dick and fart jokes and poop jokes in there, but there was so much thought put into it. And again, it avoids getting preachy with that subject matter. Is hard to do. And it's far and away my favorite Kevin Smith movie. My favorite acting Ben Affleck movie, without a doubt. Like, I love Dogma.
I like it a lot. It didn't make my list because I knew it was going to be on yours. I thought it might be high, so I didn't want to kind of steal your thunder on that. But, I mean, I agree with you. I think Affleck's really good in it. And I liked seeing him and Matt Damon together. I don't want to say, like, together again, back, you know, whatever. But
there's something there. You can, when they were on screen together, you can tell they've been friends
chemistry.
For a long time. And that played
out.
Which
fit the characters well.
Exactly. So, I mean, it was fun to see. And I just, them together in that movie was awesome.
Yeah, they are my favorite part of that movie, is Loki and Bartleby. They're awesome. I'm glad that it was your number one. It's not my favorite Kevin Smith movie. I like it a lot. I mean, it's probably, Clerks is my favorite. Jay and Silent Bob's probably two. And then Dogma is a very close three. I mean, they're all right there. Purposes of Affleck conversations, I guess it would be my second favorite, but I'm not going to argue with you that it's not a good movie and it shouldn't be, you know, number one on somebody's list. I like it a lot.
My also-rans, I had Hollywoodland as honorable mention. Argo, I didn't think it'd make either of our lists, but I liked it. I know you didn't like it as much as I did.
I thought it was fine, but
I really
not
liked it, but I liked his directing performance more than his acting performance, so it didn't really fit there. One thing that you put some of the movies where he had bit parts in.
Yeah.
I tried to keep those off, because if I was going for bit parts, my number two would have been Boiler Room. He shows up briefly in it, but he's so good. And I love the movie.
I don't think there's anything that I really feel bad about leaving off. If I left it off, it was because I thought you would have it and you did.
Yeah.
Or in the case of Boiler Room, we brought it up. I mean, I think a lot of the big Affleck-centric movies are not his best. Some of the smaller ones, like Boiler Room, maybe you kind of forget about him being in those. And I mean, I would lump Dazed and Confused in there too. You kind of forget him in that movie, but in an ensemble cast, he's really good. As a lead or co-lead, you can run into problems, which will be interesting, because that's what's going to happen with Batman.
And I mean, Boiler Room kind of goes
against, or Superman. It is a Superman movie. I'm sorry.
Boiler Room kind of goes against my point, because if you've seen that movie, his scenes are some of the most powerful. Like that first Ben Affleck scene, the speech he's giving, that is the highlight of the movie. Even though I love the entire movie, like that scene, that's like, this is Alec Baldwin and Glengarry Glen Ross. Like, that's what I'm watching. Like, and it was, it's so good. But that's enough Affleck love, I think. I don't know if we came off negative or positive during the Batman portion of it, but I think we've proven that we're not anti-Affleck. we've liked a lot of Affleck movies, and I like Affleck in those movies.
I think the fact that you don't really know whether we're for or against Affleck, that's probably good.
I'm kind of indifferent on it. I don't hate it, but I'm very not balanced. Super excited about it.
I'm very pro his wife. I'll put that out there. Like that lady a lot. If she was cast as Batman, I'd be pretty excited.
But that's enough Affleck love for the day. Before we go, we're going to give a bonus watch this, as we tend to do. Ryan, tell the people what to watch to hold them over until 2015. Pick a movie starring a former Batman.
I'm going to go with a Batman that we didn't talk a lot about this episode, and that is Val Kilmer. There are several Kilmer movies that come to mind off the top of my head, but we talk about a lot, Willow being one of them, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. It seems like whenever we can talk about that movie, we do. And then even more recently, I would love to say, check out MacGruber. He was awesome as Dieter von Kunth. The problem is we just spent a couple weeks ago talking a lot about MacGruber. So I'm going to go with 1997's The Saint with Val Kilmer, Elizabeth Shue. Val Kilmer being kind of the super spy is not something that you see a whole lot. And he wasn't tremendous in the movie, but I think that overall the movie is pretty enjoyable to watch. Not the best performance from Val Kilmer, but a decent movie.
I almost went Val Kilmer just because there's so many to pick from, but it's like I'd like to do a Val Kilmer episode at some point because, again, he's one of those you look at his career, now he's a punchline, but you look at what got him here and it's like, oh, I could probably list 15 movies of Val Kilmer's that I love. So I went somewhere else. It's a movie I've talked about, but it's topical. Elmore Leonard just passed away last week, and I think I put something up on the Movies on Up Twitter. Elmore Leonard is one of those authors that he's one of the best ever at translating to the big screen. And one of those movies, it came up when Dennis Farina passed away, Out of Sight, starring George Clooney and Jennifer Lopez, former Ms. Affleck. So it's such a good movie. It's so good. Also stars Michael Keaton, or an appearance from Michael Keaton. So there's a lot of ways.
Two Batmans for your dollar.
There's a lot of ways to tie it into this one. But the biggest one is Elmore Leonard. And if you've never read an Elmore Leonard novel or seen an Elmore Leonard movie, I suggest Out of Sight. Either way, it's such a cool story. And this is Clooney being Clooney. And it's funny because, to tie it back into Batman, that after Batman and Robin, Clooney was kind of on a downswing.
Paying out money on the street to people that didn't like that movie.
And he didn't have a lot of pull to get. He couldn't just go and pick a role. He had to kind of, you know, be careful. And that led him to...
This is pre-Ocean's 11.
Yeah, that led him to Out of Sight. And say what you will about Batman and Robin, I look at it as, if that wasn't so terrible, Clooney probably doesn't do Out of Sight, which, again, we talked about Gone Baby Gone is a flawless movie. I think Out of Sight is just as perfect. Like, that movie, it's a perfect movie, and Elmore Leonard will be missed. Clooney was great in it. J-Lo was great. Keaton was great. So that's my watch this for the week.
I like it.
If you're a big Reindeers Game fan or Paycheck or Changing Lanes, if we missed an Affleck movie that you love, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, Twitter @moviesonup, facebook.com/moviesonup, or just moviesonup.com. We're there. You can find me @DaveBasella on Twitter. Later this week, we're going to be talking favorite movies about bands.
Real or fictional, real movies about bands that can be real or fictional.
Yeah, so we'll be rocking on later this week. Until then,
give it up.